I again, people of marketing? Yes, you guessed it. This right here is a little ad. I'm not sure how much you know about Plannable, but we're a collaboration tool for social media teams, helping marketers around the world create, plan, review, approve, and schedule social media posts. The best part is that you can try Plannable for free, no strings attached. And if it strikes your fancy, we got a special offer just for you. Yes, I'm talking to you, dear listener who hasn't skipped past the ad. Go to plannable.io/listeners and use the discount code when upgrading to get 30% of the first 3 months. That is plannable.io/listeners. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, this is Ksenia Montan and welcome to another episode of People of Marketing Podcast. I'm the founder and CEO of Plannable, the collaboration tool for social teams, and I launched this podcast to take a sneak peek into the lives of top marketers. Every week, we explore the story of their careers, the choices, mistakes, wins, and imperfections of their work life. Our guest today is Evan Weiner, a rising young executive and currently global head of social marketing at GoDaddy. He is focused on architecting an all-new end-to-end social marketing program, strategy, and team, overseeing social for GoDaddy's strategic acquisitions across EMEA and the Americas, as well as the GoDaddy Pro sub-brand launch in 2021. Exciting stuff. Evan, thank you so much for joining me today on People of Marketing.
Thank you so much, Xenia. Happy to be here and to chat with you today.
Yes. So I would love to start this conversation with you by, walking a bit through your career, looking backwards. And my first question is around your first interaction with marketing. Do you remember what was, the first time you interacted with marketing, and what do you think got you into the world of marketing in the first place?
Yeah, well, this question is fun because it ultimately brings back fond memories,
Yeah.
For me, it was pretty early on, when I was, I would say maybe around 10 or 11 years old, when I really became interested and intrigued with brands, but specifically automotive brands. So I was, it was a hobby of sorts. I'm not a mechanic or an engineer, so I wasn't as interested or savvy about the actual, engineering that had to do with cars. But I was really, really in love, quite frankly, with the design and how, automotive brands differed from each other. That was kind of my early experience with identifying, brands can actually create personalities and, of course, loyal customers around them, which, all in all ladders up to marketing and kind of creating that outward facing brand. So for me, it was really through the automotive industry. And I actually, when I was that age, I think I was maybe 11 or 12, something like that. But I even had created my own automotive brand named after Pokemon. So the cartoon and sort of gaming sector. And I created an automotive brand named after a Pokemon named Moltres, and used current models of cars and started to sort of adapt them to my own automotive model lineup and all that. So you can tell, I was an imaginative youngster like many of us are when we're that age. And for me, it was around cars and kind of the brands, within that industry.
Wow, that's such an interesting angle to approach the marketing world. But it totally makes sense. It comes from your passions, and I think that's a wonderful way of you know, starting or experiencing the industry in the first place. So I want to ask you, what do you consider your first job experience, your first real job experience in the marketing world? And, you know, quickly walk us throughout your journey in marketing to where you are today at GoDaddy.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it short and sweet, definitely. It's a journey, but it's a journey that's still being defined, which is
yes.
You know, something to be excited about. But I think all in all, my career's been defined by, you know, a rich breadth of experience and then that deep subject matter expertise within marketing and specifically in the digital space and social marketing, hence kind of my role now. But, you know, going back, I think, as we just discussed, for me, marketing was top of mind early on in my life. And so it was something that I did have my sights set on. And so for me, it was always kind of at the front lines. You know, I knew I wanted to be within business, which of course is a very broad term, but specifically being able to you know, work with brands and whatnot. So for me, that was always top of mind. And I went and, when I was an undergraduate at USC, University of Southern California, here in LA, where I'm based, my first internship was actually at Sony Pictures. So, you know, the big entertainment studio. And right away I was getting involved in digital marketing there. And so that all, you know, right away kicked off my career in marketing. And because it was fairly early on in social, you know, you think 2010 around then, or at least early on when brands were really embracing it as something to invest in and as a bona fide part of their marketing mix, I was able to kind of get in as it was developing. So in that way, it kicked me off nicely because I was within, you know, an enterprise or a large presence like Sony Pictures and starting to get some exposure and experience, you know, within the social marketing space and all up marketing and brand marketing. So that was a nice kickoff. And I was there really for the latter half of my undergraduate college experience way back when now. And from there, you know, went the breadth of experience I mentioned really is defined by having started at an agency. So full-time after the Sony Pictures internship, went to a small agency, but working with some really great and, you know, pretty sizable clients. And definitely built up some kind of client-facing experience and the rigor that's associated with serving clients and in retaining the business. And then, you know, from there, because I had sort of, you know, I don't want to make myself sound so special, but I had been at Sony Pictures and working with a variety of other businesses at an agency, again, within sort of the context of social, I had fairly quickly built up myself as what I'd like to think as a thought leader at the time, but at least someone who was fairly experienced. And so I was, you know, recruited away. I kind of took the bait at times when some companies came and said, hey, we want to build out our own social department and we like your experience, et cetera. And so my career is partially defined by some fairly quick moves, meaning being at an organization for about a year at a time. I went through a few organizations, kind of built up the social marketing function to a good place, and then you know, took on what was some neat new opportunities. From, you know, even acted as an internal consultant at TrueCar. So that was truly a kind of time-bound experience. And then, you know, got into here at GoDaddy, where I've been for about 4 years now. Actually, 4 years in a few weeks. So yeah, about 4 years. And you know, we could talk more and more about GoDaddy, but you know, it's been a great experience watching and helping this brand grow, particularly through social. So that's a bit, again, like I said, I could talk about this for a while. We could have fun, but I think that's a bit of the progression there with my career.
Got it. Congrats on celebrating 4 years at GoDaddy. That is very impressive. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what does a typical day look like, if there's such a thing, being the global head of social marketing at GoDaddy? And, you know, what does it what does this title really mean? Like, what do you do every single day? What does your week look like? If you have any rituals around your day or around your week, you know, describe, basically help us take a sneak peek into what it means to be Evan Weiner at work.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, kind of like you alluded to, we're definitely, all of us are finding what is normal for us these days, right? And I think there's no doubt that we're getting into our routines and just continuing to adapt. But there's no doubt for me there are some consistent factors. I think, you know, on one end, I really enjoy working out. It's something that I somewhat of a hobby, if you will. So I religiously work out. I like to lift weights and whatnot, and luckily have a good routine, you know, now not necessarily in a gym. So that's definitely a way that I start my day at least, you know, about 4 or 5 times a week. So anyone listening, don't feel bad. I really like it. I know people are like, oh, I should be working out more. And sometimes when I talk about that, I immediately feel like I'm like, no, you don't have to work out that much. But so for me, you know, that's definitely an outlet. And I like to work out in the morning. So I'll work out pretty early. You know, I'll get going at 6 a.m. Sometimes even earlier at some points. So I kind of start that up in the morning. Most days, you know, a lot of times now, because I'm working with, you know, a lot of global stakeholders and even some brands, some acquired brands that are based in EMEA, I have pretty consistently meetings fairly early in the morning. So I'm finding myself at least half my days, maybe a majority, starting the day with, you know, some meetings. And I have my own, as many of us do, I'm sure, form of a list of priorities that I kind of scan and set in place and, you know, work to achieve that day. So that's kind of how I start up. But I think that all in all, you know, aside from kind of the morning routine, you know, we are building a lot now at GoDaddy. And what I mean by that is we are building really new operations around how we are kind of managing our acquired brands and that side of the business, which is really a big growth driver for GoDaddy. You know, the different kind of technologies are actually different in kind brands, meaning brands that stay the same and don't take on a GoDaddy name. A lot of my work is around defining new processes, innovating, whether it's small innovations or thinking big. Of course, now, you know, we're looking at the year ahead. So that kind of defines my day in and day out. And I think, you know, some of the listeners may be like, okay, that's all fine and good, but what does that really mean for how you're putting pen to paper? Like, what are you doing here?
Yes.
And so for, I think on one end, it is building cross-functional relationships. So I am working to ensure that whatever reports I'm creating or whatever, you know, documents I'm creating or ideas that are getting pushed through, that I'm making a point to set up meetings with others that may have a first or second degree involvement in a project to ensure that I'm evangelizing a lot of this work, like I said, that is new and maybe new to other departments that aren't as involved or even some of my new colleagues as well. So that's, you know, that is one thing I would say in regards to, you know, actions I'm actually taking day in and day out. And that is working to set up meetings, ensure that I'm being transparent so that team that's very close to me and actually set up meetings or even just ensure that distributions are reaching.
Got it. I want to switch gears a little bit and I want to ask you about productivity. You know, we marketers have to juggle with a lot of stuff, and you mentioned a bunch of them, you know, meetings and you know, and reports and ideation and creativity and strategy and just a lot of things. And we are also in touch with a lot of other departments and most companies. So it's a busy profession. And I'm curious, you know, what is that one thing that stands between you and your most productive self? What's your biggest, you know, distraction at work?
You know, one of the lighter weight items that I think that none of us are totally immune to is, of course, our phone, right? And just distractions around checking the news or whatever. You know, for me, working in social, while, you know, I'm still in the platforms day in and day out, whether for a variety of reasons, while I'm not there sort of necessarily re-engaging with our audience and you know, clicking go on publishing tweets. Yeah. That's, you know, a lot of what I'm working with my team with and all that good stuff. I'm still in it a lot. So for me, that can be a distraction because you're literally having all the latest trending topics just popping up in your face and all that. And sometimes you can't help yourself. So I think that's one of the smaller, you know, kind of lighter weight distractions that we can all relate to. But I think that one of them for me, you know, for Evan is, you know, it's not so much perfectionism, but I'm very proud of and happy about the knowledge that I built up throughout the different roles that I've had and throughout, you know, getting my MBA, my graduate degree and all these things. And so all of the knowledge that I've kind of collected and learned is something that I covet, you know. And when I try, I think that what can be kind of something that sort of clogs up some productivity sometimes or quickness is my wanting to apply as much of that knowledge and sort of crowdsource it and apply it to different tasks or, you know, programs that I'm working on. So sometimes that can slow things down, right? When I'm trying to be really as smart as humanly possible and really what needs to be done is sort of take a step back and not think too hard about trying to apply all of your learnings or pressure yourself to just know better with everything and actually just naturally leverage your knowledge, you know, at times to help kind of keep things moving. So I'd say that's one thing that wanting to take all the knowledge that I've built up over the years and try to apply it to sort of most things that I'm doing in a calculated way, when in reality, the best thing to do is just kind of trust that knowledge to flow naturally, you know, and to trust your gut and trust yourself. So
that actually takes me very nicely to my next question, which is about, you know, habits and skills. I like to talk, you know, in people of marketing, not just, you know, about the, you know, the good stuff that happens in the marketing journey in the marketing career, but also about struggles. So I'm wondering what's, you know, that one habit or skill you struggled the most to develop in yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, Zainia, I really appreciate that Planable and this podcast kind of goes to those questions, you know, because especially now it's time to be empathetic and sort of, you know, gather around the reality that, you know, there are struggles, whether it's during this craziness right now or a normal time. But so, yeah, you know, with that, I think for me personally, one of the, you know, call it a struggle or call it just that thing that, you know, I'm constantly working to improve or learn, which in and of itself is a good thing. But that for me, I think is conciseness. So what I mean by that is speaking conciseness. So for me, while I definitely am in tune with, you know, keeping a topic in trend and holding meetings and presentations and those things, you know, I'm good at and actually enjoy, there's no doubt for me that I can tend to over-inform or sometimes, to be honest, trip myself up, you know, because I am really defining and explaining things perhaps a little too much. So I think the lesson that I'm really constantly learning and driving toward is being that much more of a precise sort of orator or a speaker, you know, and ensuring that I'm not confusing or over-informing anyone that I'm talking to, even right here, right now. Hopefully I'm not falling into my own trap, but that's one thing. And I think what brought that to light to me is, you know, just observing and seeing how some top executives or really talented people that I work with, how refined they can be, you know, and just getting to the point yet informing really well. Whereas, again, I can do that for sure, but I tend to be a bit verbose or talk a bit more than maybe needed or than I want to. So I'm always sort of working toward refining.
So important to have that self-awareness about yourself, you know, being mindful of what are the shortcomings that you have. Yeah. That's the only way of improving yourself and, you know, professionally and personally, by being aware of what's, you know, lacking, being, you know, true to yourself and, you know, being honest with yourself. I want to ask you if you'd be able to like travel in time and go back to your past self at the beginning of your career. What advice would you give to yourself? What do you wish you knew back then?
Ooh, yes, of course. And you know what? This was something I may have anticipated for our discussion, but didn't necessarily nail down. I think it's such a great question, right? I mean, this is... So good. I think, and it's funny because I am going back in time and I'm thinking of all different sort of healthy fails and what I may have, you know, wanted to. I think, you know, one of the sort of a macro or a broader trend for me when I think of what would I have, you know, told myself a bit earlier on. And I think, you know, one thing that stands out to me is to... Be easy on yourself. You know, don't be too hard on yourself. I think for many of us, and surely those that are kind of listening in to the podcast, you know, we're ambitious and we want the best for ourselves in whatever context that is, whether it's just continuing to rise in a corporate setting or just leave a legacy, whatever that may be. You know, I think we can all understand having ambition and wanting to stand out, et cetera. And so I'm definitely not immune to that. And throughout my career, surely have pushed myself, which has been healthy. But there's no doubt there are times when it can be unhealthy, you know, where you are holding yourself to a standard that is just too rough, you know, a little bit too tough for you, even just at that time. Or maybe it's a factor of not giving yourself enough time and just wanting to achieve on such a short sort of interval of time. And again, that can help push you, which is good, but you know, find a bit of that balance just so that you can keep a healthy mindset. And ultimately, when you keep that healthy mindset, you're bringing your best self to your colleagues and whatnot anyway, which will probably just help to propel you even faster than if you kept sort of being hard on yourself. So I think what that ladders up into is, you know, make sure that don't be too hard on yourself, anchor into those things that have been going well rather than anchoring into just the things that maybe didn't go so well. And ultimately that will, you know, help to bring your best self to those colleagues and the work that you want to excel in anyway.
I can't agree more. Ambition is good, but we gotta cut ourselves some slack from time to time. I have one more question for you before we wrap up with our rapid fire session. And that question is around the fact that our industry is extremely high moving, especially the social media part of the marketing world. And I wanna ask you, you know, what's a popular thing or a trend or a buzzword in marketing today that you think is overrated or that is annoying you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think one aspect is actually not, well, it surely is specific to marketing, but it's in theory something fairly broad, and that is actually how we work with data. And I know that may already sound like, wait a minute, you're not saying data is bad, right? Definitely not. You know, data is great, but it actually, what I am you know, employing more and more is just a very a more critical lens to data, you know, and not just when good results happen, not immediately jumping to a conclusion saying, because this good result, that means that tactic is fantastic. And then sometimes what you do is you start to just leverage that tactic when you need to take a little bit more time and think, were there other variables that affected this or whatever? So I think on a broader kind of level, it is something that can annoy me is sort of the mismanagement of data, particularly with social. And I think it's because social is at times in certain industries can be tough to attribute certain business results, you know, in. Particularly things that kind of affect the business, bottom line, revenue, whatever it may be. And so sort of the buzz around certain metrics and, like I said, just sort of that mismanagement of data, a lot of times with social, can definitely be, you know, annoying for me. So I think that just one call out is maybe to some of our listeners, it's just like, you know, take that critical lens to data. Not that you have to have a rebuttal for everything or assume things are wrong, but, you know, definitely take a critical lens to whether it's sort of a new vanity metric or a tried and true metric. Either way, just take that critical lens to things.
That's a very, very good one. Okay, so moving forward, I have four quick short questions for you, quick short answers. Are you ready, Evan?
Yes.
Awesome. What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Oh gosh. Let's see. I'm putting the time limit on myself here. The worst advice that I've received is don't try to win an award. We won't be able to.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's advice or if that sticks out to me. That was one of the worst sort of, yeah, I guess you could call it advice or input.
Yes, that's a very bad one. And my last one is, if you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today, what else would you do?
I would be, designing cars.
Designing cars. That is so, so badass.
To bring it full circle from where we started.
Exactly. That is beautiful. That's a beautiful wrap up of our conversation. Evan, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, your journey with our audience. I really, really enjoyed every bit of it. Thanks again for doing this.
Thank you, Zania. I appreciate you guys giving me the time and hope the listeners enjoy. Thanks again.
And for everyone else listening in, thank you for joining. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget, we have new ones every Wednesday. Subscribe to People of Marketing on your favorite podcast app. And till next time.